Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
There was great anticipation leading up to that first Christmas, as God's people waited for hundreds of years for the fulfillment of a promised hope. And their Christmas experience has helped to shape ours in the here and now. And what happened then changes everything now. Today we begin a brand new series, four episodes, called The King Has Come, as we celebrate this wonderful season of Advent together and experience the joy that comes through knowing the King in a personal way. Now, the word Advent itself actually means arrival or an appearing or a coming into place. And so as Christ followers, we often speak about his first Advent or his second Advent. In other words, his first coming or his second coming to earth. And his first Advent, which was foretold, has now come to pass. Unto us a child has been born. That's the Christmas experience. The King has come, and someday he's coming back again. But while we wait for his second advent or coming, I'm thankful that when he came the first time, it wasn't just for a quick visit. He lived, he walked the earth, he grew in his knowledge and wisdom, and he set an example for each one of us. He didn't just come for a royal visit like the queen does when she comes to town. As a matter of fact, the queen sent her greetings to British Columbians earlier in the week in the wake of the flood and all the damage that's been done. She expressed her appreciation for those who are helping to respond and rebuild during and after the flood. So we appreciate those kind words and pray for her health as she continues to do what she does. But you know what? During our trip home recently at Thanksgiving to spend time with family, my son and I got an opportunity to go out to dinner with my father. And it was just a great time to sit and listen to all the stories of when he was chief of police in the city there, and one story led to another, and we asked questions, and it was just a rich time for all of us. But as we talked, I remembered a time when the Queen came to visit Halifax. And during her royal visit, there was a picture taken of my father, who was asked to greet her and open the door to her car as she did her royal walkabout and interacted with the crowd. And so I said to my dad, I said, do you still have that picture? Because I would love to get a copy of it. And as he kind of thought as to where it might be, my son grabbed his phone and quickly Googled it, and up came this picture that I'll show you right now. This picture of my dad, handsome as he was back in the day, opening the door for the Queen as she came to town. What a great shot. And so this picture kind of reminds us of this moment when she came to town, and it happened so quickly, but all the lead up to it, as you can imagine, was very complicated, as the logistics around security had to be worked out with the city police and her royal security team that was with her, all her handlers, snipers, all along the parade route. And every single detail was planned with great precision right to the opening of that door as my father stepped out to help her. But as quick as she came and as quick as that visit happened, it was over. She came in, she was there, she stirred the city up, and then the city settled back down again as she left town. Because the queen comes and visits, she comes and goes, but the king comes and he abides. The king within us. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, without the king, you can do nothing. Now, it's unclear as to whether Her Majesty will be able to join us this year for our Calvary Christmas experience, but I can guarantee you that the King will most definitely be there. And we're ready. We're getting things together. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Our flooring project is coming together thanks to so many of you that have generously given. And our halls are officially decked. This place looks amazing. And the month of December is filled with festive events, including our grand celebration services on Sunday, December the 12th, and of course our legendary Calvary Family Christmas Eve candlelight services, three of those services that you can attend. And so would you invite family, would you invite friends? As promised from last week, we have invitations here at the church available for you. If you're here in the building today, they're on the seats, they're in the foyer, you can stop by the office, grab as many invitations as you like, because we just want to spread the word and spread the gospel at this time of year, because it's so such an incredible time to see people's lives changed and transformed as they come to know the hope of the holiday season. And today also kicks off our online Advent devotional. And so there's still time to jump in and to be a part of that through the YouVersion app. So if you go to our Calvary Connect, you'll get all the details there. And for those of you with children, with small children that are part of our Big Time Kids program, next Sunday night is our light show, Big Time Kids Christmas family event. You do not want to miss this. Tessa and her team are getting ready. It's going to be a fantastic time, not just for the kids, but for mom and dad too. This is not an event where you just drop them off and go. This is an event where you can stay and interact and be a part of the fun with your kids. Now, today is also a very special day here at the church as we see, I think, upwards of 19 people being baptized. That's so fantastic. And so Pastor Susan and I want to congratulate those of you who are taking that next step in your walk with God. This new chapter is going to be so exciting, and we want you to know that we're in your corner cheering you on. So it's so exciting. And, you know, last week we concluded our Perfect Fit series as we looked at the discovery and the use of our spiritual gifts. And we ended that series and that message with an important moment as we got the orange Next Steps cards and gave everyone an opportunity to serve, to use their gifts in a practical way. And I want to encourage all of you to do the same. If you go onto our website, send us a message, somebody will be in touch with you. We'd love to see you involved as Team Calvary continues to grow and you use your gifts. We had so many orange cards come in last week, and so I want to thank you for those of you that are stepping up and maybe serving for the first time or returning in person and beginning to serve on teams again. It's very exciting to see the church continuing to grow in that way. Now, our new Christmas series centers around a powerful prophecy about a child who would bear the government on his shoulders and be called by titles that could only rightfully be attributed to God himself. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now, every time I read those words, I hear Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith in the back of my mind. Wonderful Counselor. It just goes off immediately as I begin to read through it. But Isaiah 9:6 is a prophecy for the people of Israel that foretold the kind of king that their Messiah would be. You see, on this side of history, we know who the prophet is talking about. We know he's talking about Jesus. And in this verse, he's actually given five titles. Some have combined the first two, but I want to give you a different perspective on that today to see the richness of what these five titles actually mean. And each week we'll go through those together. Now, according to royal protocol in those days, the kings and pharaohs would have had titles like these. These would have been titles that went along with their name to kind of broadcast their accomplishments to all the people and to all the nations, like Herod the Great, King Herod, Herodias Magnus. They would attach these titles to trumpet who they were and what they were all about. And the titles symbolize kind of worldly power and holy might. And they also kind of set up sort of a mission statement for the reign of that particular monarch. Now, in Egypt at the time, It was a formal, time-honored practice to bestow five names on a pharaoh that was ascending to the throne as part of his ascension ceremony. And so their full royal names were announced at their coronation when a pharaoh would officially become king. And the names of Jesus that we see here in Isaiah 9:6 are no different. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, there is five here as well. And each one is rooted in his kingship. And as the church, we live in the kingdom in the here and now. So we're not just talking about a future promised king, right? We're already citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So it's essential that we understand who our king is, because it affects the way that we live. And so throughout this series, we're going to explore King Jesus' titles, and we'll start with the first two today. You know, I've always kind of been amused by the wacky and creative names that celebrities come up with for their kids. And the more celebrity babies that are born, the wackier these names become. As a matter of fact, you can have an ordinary name that just zooms to the top of the charts in popularity because a celebrity couple has chosen it for their child. And sometimes these names are not deep in meaning. I think they're there just to get noticed or to be different. We see Kim and Kanye, when they were together, naming their child North, which goes together good when your last name is West. Certainly good for directions. Kate Winslet, she named her son Bear Blaze. I guess they had a friend of the family who had a nickname named Bear, and she liked it. And they were actually in a terrible fire, their entire family, and they survived. I think they were at Richard Branson's compound with his family, and so she thought she'd name him Bear Blaze. I guess they want to remember that day for some reason, all right? And then back in the day, musician Frank Zappa, he famously named his kids Moon Unit, Dweezil, and Diva Thin Muffin. Now, can you imagine this in grade school growing up, taking attendance? Steve McDonald, are you here? Brad Fennell, are you here? Diva Thin Muffin Zappa, are you here? Diva, hello, Diva Thin Muffin Bueller. Like, can you imagine walking around with that handle and living with that name attached to you? I'm sure it made it a little challenging at times. Then we see people like The Edge from U2, calls his daughter Blue Angel, kind of cute, right? Or how about Jermaine Jackson? He got in on kind of the royal theme and called his son Your Majesty. Or how about his brother Michael? He calls his son Blanket. I don't know about that one. But the list goes on and on, these crazy names. Now, the names of Christ were much different and certainly more fitting of a king. So, again, is there a comma between wonderful and counselor? Well, depending on the translation that you read, you might find either in either version, although the King James, which is accepted by many Bible scholars as kind of an accurate translation of the early scriptures, includes the comma, making it two separate titles, wonderful and counselor, instead of wonderful counselor together. Now, my personal opinion is that the comma in the King James Version makes this verse so much more meaningful. And because of that comma, we can attribute the word wonderful to Jesus as a title. It's not just an adjective of counselor. He is wonderful. And of all the many names that are attributed to our Savior, I think wonderful is probably one of the most accurate descriptions of all, because he's wonderful beyond description. And the word wonderful means that it's so good that it's beyond understanding or it's incomprehensible. And that is our God. Now, the word counselor is not like I think we think about today when we think of a social worker or a high school guidance counselor, but it's more of a trusted ruler. And he's able to advise his people thoroughly because he's qualified in ways that no human counselor can ever be versed in, right? In Christ, all hidden, the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. And if he abides in you, if he abides in me, then we too can tap into that wisdom and knowledge as we grow in our relationship with him. So, Wonderful and Counselor. The first two titles referring to the Messiah in Isaiah's prophecy that can be used separately or they can be used together to describe the king. It was a promise of hope to Israel in the midst of the Assyrian invasion around 740 BC, of the coming of a savior who would bring promise and hope, who would deliver his people. And people, they hung their faith and their hope on the truth that this would someday come to pass. And this verse describes both the humanity and the divinity of Christ. And it finds its fulfillment in Jesus and eventually will reach its completion when he comes back again. Now, the Hebrew word for wonderful is a word called pele. And this is a term that means a miracle, a marvel, or a wonder, which indicates something inexplicable, wonderful. You see the depth of it. And the second Hebrew word for counselor is yoez, a term that means to advise, counsel, devise, or purpose. Now, both definitions combined reveal that the child will be miraculously born and will become an amazing advisor, bringing about these powerful works through God's purpose. So, let's look at three reasons as to why Jesus was described as wonderful and counselor. The first one is that Jesus Christ was both God and man. You see, throughout history, no individual has ever had both human and divine natures. He was one of a kind. Jesus was exceptional. And his uniqueness is first found in his incarnation, a miraculous act of God who came from heaven to earth to become a man. I am so thankful for that because I have a living hope that I know experienced the trials, the temptations, the pressures of life, and endured with the Father's direction. And because of his dual nature, his life was filled with miracle after miracle. And this supernatural work of God made Jesus fully human and wholly divine, the King walking among us. And during his earthly ministry, Jesus was known as a wise teacher. That's that counselor segment. But he was also known as a miracle worker. That's the wonderful part of it all, the wonder that comes with what he did. And people were amazed back then, as they are even today, as God works and changes lives. Acts 10, verse 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. He was both God and man. And then number two, Jesus Christ is the source of all wisdom. So as prophesied by Isaiah, Jesus is filled with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Isaiah 11, verse 2 says, the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Luke goes on to tell us that Jesus continued to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and men. That same wisdom is accessible for you today. When you come into this saving relationship and you know him in a personal way, you can tap in to that wisdom in your life. Paul tells us in Colossians that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. That's that mystery, that great mystery of God. This means that all the secret things of God have been revealed in Christ. And through him, we can fully know God and have this personal relationship with the King of Kings. That's a title for you. There's a lot of kings, but there's only one King of Kings. And then finally, number three, Jesus Christ is our true helper. Listen, over the last 18 months, this one has come more real to me than anything. I've experienced that help in the present moments of need that I have. You see, one of God's greatest characteristics is benevolent. In the Old Testament, David declared that God is his helper. It was an answered prayer for deliverance from his enemies that we see in Psalm 54:4 when he said, "Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me." You know, most of the problems that we have are not physical or emotional. They're spiritual, and they're all connected together. And a victorious life for you and I to live that Spirit-empowered life comes as his Spirit works through us to have that help that's there when we need it the most. So Jesus is called Wonderful. He's called Counselor because he alone can give us guidance, he can give us help and deliverance through his wisdom and his miracles. He causes everything to work together for a twofold purpose: the greatest good of mankind and the highest glory to God the Father. Wonderful Counselor. That's our King, the King that abides with us. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you that you are wonderful, that you're beyond comprehension, that you are our great Counselor, our wise ruler, that Lord, in you is all wisdom and knowledge that we will ever need. I pray that as we step into this Christmas season, that our focus would remain on you and your ability to always provide help in our darkest moments and to see us through with the wisdom that we need. I pray that we would always be filled with the wonder of who you are, to know that we can live a lifetime and still not figure you out. But as we study your word, as we spend time before you, I pray that your presence would be made known in our lives as we walk in your ordered steps. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.